want to bring you a message entitled simply, Trust in the Lord. Do you know that's what He wants us to do? How many of you know that He wants you to trust Him? Why is it that we don't? Now, I know we say that we do, but over and over again, the Lord is reiterating this truth that He wants us to trust Him. He just wants us to believe Him. And you know, it's an impossibility for us to please the Lord apart from that. Because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You know what faith is? It's trusting in the Lord. It's believing in Him. You know, there are many things I believe that God wants to do for us. I believe there are many things that God wants to reveal to us. I believe there are many things that the Lord would accomplish in us. But they are not coming to pass because it is all based upon us trusting Him. You remember what the Lord said to Martha and Mary before He raised Lazarus from the grave? He said, if thou wouldest believe, thou wouldest see the glory of the Lord. And so, I believe that sometimes we're not seeing the glorious or the miraculous. We're not seeing the celestial because we have struggled with the simple directive of the Lord to simply trust Him. Now, I believe that the admonition to trust in the Lord, it transcends every area of life. And I believe as we study these verses that we have read tonight, we'll notice that there are some very specific areas in which the Lord calls upon us to trust in Him. Now, we could just say, as a generality, we're to trust Him with everything. Is that a fair statement to make? Yes, we're to trust Him with everything. But I want to remind you of some very specific things that the Lord lists here in this familiar psalm that I think we would do well to consider tonight. I think that as we begin with this study of God's Word, we should look in verse number 1. And the Bible here says this, Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. In verse 7, would you notice that it says, Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Now, could someone tell me tonight what the word fret means? It means to worry, doesn't it? And I've got to tell you something. When we're worrying, we're not trusting. It's an impossibility for us to be filled with faith while fretting. Let me say that again. It is an impossibility for us to be filled with faith while fretting, while worrying. Now, I would say to you that the Word of God gives us many admonitions concerning this, but if you're taking a note or two tonight, maybe just jot this down, that God calls us to trust Him with our, number one, our worries. With our worries. The things that cause us to fret. Now, I don't know if any of you are like me, but occasionally you fret. Are there any fretters here tonight? This is the fretters fraternity, all right? The fraternity. but look, some of us at times we do. You just get that knot in the pit of your stomach. You ever get the knot? How many get the knot right over here? How many folks get the knot right there? Somebody get it right here, you know? And others of you get that thing going on right here, you know what I'm saying? And it stresses you right out. And others of you just running back and forth to the bathroom all the time. Whatever it is that happens to you physiologically, it's because internally we're fretting, we're worrying about things that God says He wants us to trust Him about. Now, God wants us to trust Him with our worries. Now, I don't know if you remember Matthew chapter 6. How many of you remember Matthew chapter 6? Okay, I'm glad both of you do. That's so inspirational. Matthew chapter 6, you know. And most of us can remember verse 33, can we? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But you know what? If we begin down, I believe it's in verse number 25, from 25 to 34, you know what the Lord says five times? Take no thought. 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 You know what that means? Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. God says, don't worry. You almost get the idea that God doesn't want us to worry. Right? You think? Now, here the Bible says, fret not in verse 1. Again in verse 7, it says, fret not. You know what that means? Don't worry. Now, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the word careful there means filled with anxious care. Anxiety is worry. All right, so here we see it's fret not. There it's don't be filled with care. In Matthew 6, it's the same thing. Take no thought. That means don't be filled with these thoughts of anxiety about how the issues of your life are going to be taken care of. God wants for us to come to the place where we will trust Him, and so long as we have that pain over here because of stress, and the pain right here because of stress, and the pain right you pointed out, it's impossible for you to be filled with faith while fretting. God says, I want you to trust me. Trust me. Okay? Now, last night, there was somewhat of a thunderstorm in our area. I don't know if your area was impacted by that the way that ours was, but sometimes it can be localized, I know. But it was a really exciting thunderstorm in our neighborhood. And I mean, the whole house was just shaking. The windows were rattling, and the, you know, the whole yard was just lit up with lightning, and it was rather exciting, you know? And Timothy gets a little nervous when there's a lot of thunder like that. And he came, crawled up in my lap. He said, Dad, you think we're going to be okay? You know, like, yeah, we're going to be fine, buddy. It's going to be fine. Well, how come I don't feel like it's going to be fine? You know, I'm telling, trust Dad on this one. It's going to be okay, man. And then there he was curled up in a little ball sitting on my lap. And, you know, sometimes we come to the Lord and the Lord says, okay, buddy, it's going to be all right. It'll be fine. And we kind of look up at the Lord like, well, how come I don't feel like it's going to be fine? Right? It's because you still don't see that situation as being under His control. Tonight we sang, Jesus is Lord of all. Right? And if He is Lord of all, then we need to see God in control of that situation. Now, if you could visualize with me Almighty God. Now, I don't even know how to do that, because I don't know what He looks like other than the images that I have in my mind of Jesus. But I imagine power and glory. I imagine light. I imagine energy. I imagine love. I imagine all these things when I think about the Lord, about God being in control. He is the Lord of everything. We sang tonight, He's the Lord over our failures. He's the Lord of all. And sometimes we crawl up in the lap of the Lord and we say, this thunder that's going on in my life, is it going to be all right? Are we going to be safe? And the Lord says, hey buddy, hey sweetie, it's going to be okay. And we think, how come I don't feel like it's going to be okay, Lord? It's because we're not seeing God as in control of everything in our lives. And we're not seeing that with the eyes of faith because we haven't really given Him the control of everything in our life. He is Lord. But sometimes what happens is we take back the controls from the Lord, and functionally, we become the Lord of our life. When we're making the decisions, who's the Lord of our life? We are, right? Sometimes, okay, He's Lord of all. He's the Lord. Okay, so tomorrow when you get ready, you're going to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you? You relinquish the decisions of your life to His Lordship. You don't say, well, this is what I always do. This is what I always drive to work. This is what I always do. And just remove God from it altogether. Maybe you're just having a conversation with God going on with the Lord. That's fine. But, you know, He can reroute you. He can put somebody in your pathway when you stop to get your morning coffee at QT or wherever it is. And you may say, Lord, do you want me to talk to this person? Instead of saying, I'm way too busy to talk to this person. Right? You see, sometimes we become the functional Lord of our own life. And He wants us to trust Him and to give Him our worries, but we'll not give Him our worries so long as we are holding on to the controls. Because even though we might say it, Lord, you're Lord, you're in control, who's calling the shots? Right? Now, I sometimes say, you know, I'm the head of my house, but my wife is the neck that turns the head. Right? My wife gives me the permission to be the head of my household, you know. And you know, I got to tell you something. Sometimes we say, Jesus is the Lord of my life, but really, we become the functional Lord of our life so long as we're filled with worries that lead us to make the decisions separate and apart from seeing God as in control. Fret not. Fret not. You got any worries tonight? How many of you would say, Pastor, honestly, I've got some issues in my life that I'm worried about? Let me see your hand. Okay, anybody have no worries? Because we'll loan you some. Okay? All right, everybody raise your hand and say, I've got some things that I'm worried about in my life. Okay? Remember, Matthew 6, 25 through 34, five times. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. And here, fret not, which means don't worry. Fret not. Don't worry. Because you know what worry does? Nothing. You know what worry helps? Nothing. It only hurts you. It doesn't ever help you. You know, when someone says, quit fretting, you're fretting. You know, in my mind, I have this picture of somebody that's like, oh no, what are we going to do? You know, they're all, you know, I just don't know what to do. And they're fretting. It's like, man, relax. Chill out, dude. Right? What are we going to do? Every once in a while, I'm worried about something. I get on the phone and I pace. I'm bad. I'm pacing, you know. How many of you ever pace? You do that too? But you know what? It's impossible to be filled with faith while fretting. You know what the Bible says? Verse 3, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I want you to see something else. It says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the what? Desires of thine heart. You know what desires are? That's what you want. Okay? My desires, that's the stuff I want. Right? So, here's what the Lord is telling us. I want you to trust me, not only with your worries, but trust me with your wants. Okay? whatever it is. Now, here's what the Lord says. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That does not mean that God is going to give you whatever you want. That would be cool if it was written like that, but that's really not what it's saying, right? Sometimes we might want things that are way outside of what God wants for us, right? You know, we could say, Lord, I have a few people I'd like for you to take care of. And if you have that list, Lord, I have a few things that I'd like to have you take care of for me and things I'd like for you to do for me. That's what I want. But that's not what this is talking about. You know, there are some people that believe, oh man, if you have enough faith and the two of you agree on that thing, that God has to give you whatever you want. That's not what the Bible teaches us here at all. You know what it means? It means this. It says, He'll give you the desires of your heart. You know what that means? He'll place within your heart the desire for the things that He wants you to have. He'll place within your heart the desire for what He wants you to have. He wants only what's best for you, right? Now, these kids down here, if I asked them tonight after church, let's say we go to Dairy Queen and get a chocolate chip cookie dough and Snicker Blizzard with whipped cream on top, and let's make that dinner. Okay? Any takers? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. They want everything that's not good for them, right? But that's sometimes the way we are with the Lord. We want stuff that's not good for us. What God will do is He will place within our heart the desire for the things that He wants us to have. The desire for the things that He wants us to have. And so, we could say, Lord, I want a certain thing. And it's okay for you to say that so long as that is in keeping with God's will for your life. Because if you remember, the Lord said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. That's what I want. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So, what was He saying? Here's what my flesh wants, but I want your will more than what I want. So He was willing to submit Himself to what God wanted for His life. Are we willing to do that? To trust the Lord? To place within our heart the desires that may replace long-held desires that we've had? I talk to people all the time that have this dream of moving somewhere and settling someplace and having such a thing and doing so, such and so. And they've got it all worked out, but they've never really consulted with the Lord on the issue. They've made big plans, and then they're going to inform the Lord. Did you get it? The Lord, what's going to happen there? Who was the Lord of that situation? Huh? Yeah, not God. Because we decided we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then we just let God know, hey, this is what's happening. Bless it. Right? And then we're counting on Him to bless the plans that we made independently of Him. Do you think God is honor bound to bless the plans you made independent of Him? Yes or no? Some of you didn't answer. You don't want to answer. Still thinking about it? I smell wood burning. Even though I have a cold, I can still smell it. What is it that you want? Are you willing to say, Lord, I surrender all of my fleshly desires. Place within my heart the yearning for only what you desire for me. Place within my heart the yearning for only the things that you desire for me. Now, That's a hard one. Because we have long-held aspirations, hopes, and dreams. And sometimes those can be within the scope of God's will for your life, and sometimes they're entirely juxtaposed to it. And God is saying, I want you to put your worries in my hands, and you can't be filled with faith and fretting at the same time. And He says, I want you to give me your desires and let me place within your heart the desire for the things that I want you to have. Are you willing to trust God with your wants? Are you willing to sacrifice the things that you're hoping for so that His will might be accomplished if that's what it requires? That's a great question that every Christian person has to ask themselves, and sometimes we ask it but we never really want to answer. I think that we need to look at something else here in the Scriptures. It says in verse number 5, commit thy what? Way unto the Lord. So the Lord wants us to trust Him with not only our worries and our wants, but our way. That's the direction of our life. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Oh yeah, trust also in Him. There we go again. And what? He shall bring it to pass. So the one that's going to make it happen is the one who charted the course. Right? So, if I commit my way to Him, if I say, okay, Lord, You determine the course of my life. You determine the way that I take. Then, if that's my spirit, and I'm trusting in Him, you know what? He's going to bring it to pass. It's going to happen. But there are a lot of times where we decide, I'm going this way. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks or says about it. And we just bow our necks and we just plow forward. And guess what? It doesn't always come to pass, does it? Or if it comes to pass, we're not happy with the outcome. How many of you have ever made a boneheaded, bullheaded decision? Me either. Okay? Now, we've all been there, done that, haven't we? Got the T-shirt. We got a whole collection of those T-shirts, don't we? And some of them have stripes on them. Right? So boneheaded, bullheaded decisions that we made, and we press on, we're going to go this way. And you know what? We got to where we wanted to go, but when we got there, we weren't at all happy about it. Right? We weren't at all happy about it. So you know what God says? I want you to let me determine the course of your life. I want you to let me make the choice concerning the direction of your life. It begins with a choice, of course, to redirect your destiny from, you know, due south to due north. Amen? We talked about that this morning. So that's where it begins, where we say, okay, Lord, I'm changing direction. I'm turning around. I'm heading straight north. Because I know that Your will is for me to be with You in heaven someday, not to go to hell, because You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it starts with that decision. But not only are we going to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to let You determine the course of my destiny, I'm going to let You determine the course of my days. I'm going to let You determine what You would have me to do and where You would have me to do it. Now, I would give this to you, that some of us fret about the where of God's will for our lives. But I believe that God would have us not fret about where He would have us to be, but He would have us concern ourselves with this. What would You have me to do? What would You have me to do? Because so long as I am determined to do what God would have me do, He will see to it that I'm doing it where He would have me to do it. Some of us are so concerned about where God would have us go. And we need to be concerned with what God would have us to do. Because while you're fretting about where you're going to go, there's a work that's not getting done right where you are. And there's something that God has for you right where you are. Sometimes you hear the saying, bloom where you're planted. How many of you have heard that one? And you might be in the desert, but man, just bloom right where you're planted. Just decide that if this is where I am at this season of my life, and this is where the providence of God that He has me, then I'm just going to do the things that God would have me to do because in His providence, He directed me here to do it. So concern yourself with the what, not the where. Look at verse 23. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way." So, God is going to order the steps of a good man. And if you don't know which way you ought to go, here's something for you to think about. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 5, "If any man among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him." You say, well, it says to ask for wisdom. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Because, you know what? When I lack wisdom, you know what that means? I don't know what to do. Right? I lack a lot of wisdom. How about you? There are times where I scratch my head and I say, man, I'm not sure what to do right here. Okay, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know what that's me doing? Asking God for wisdom. And you know what He said? If you ask me in faith, I'm going to give it to you. If you believe me, guess what? I'll give it to you. So, here's what the Bible tells us. We need to come to the place where we trust Him with our worries, and trust Him with our wants, and trust Him with our way. With our way. Now, here's something else that some folks probably would rather I just glossed over quickly. And maybe I will, and maybe I won't. Look at verse number 8. Cease from anger and forsake what? Wrath. You know what God wants you to trust Him with? Your wrath. What's wrath?
Being mad.
Being just madder than a wet hen. Alright? It says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not. There you go again. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So, here's what we need to see. Verse 11. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So, God's Word is directing us to cease from anger, forsake wrath. You know, honestly, I know some people that are just angry people. Now, how many of you know somebody that has issues? How many of you would say, I have some issues?
Amen.
Okay. Speak for yourself. Okay. Look, we have issues. You know one of the issues that all of us sometimes battle? The issue of wrath. Where we're not just worked up, we want to do something about it. Right? That's what it's talking about here. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You're thinking about, you're stressing about, you're worrying over the circumstances and thinking that you're going to take matters into your own hands. I'm not going to trust the Lord with this situation. I'm angry about it. And because God's not doing something about it right now, I'm going to do something about it right now. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to give your wrath to Him. He wants you to trust Him with it. And some people say, well, this is just the way I am. I'm redheaded. I got red-haired roots, you know. Or I'm born Irish. Big deal, you know. All of us have it. We're born with an Adamic nature. Right? The Bible says we are by nature the children of disobedience. Right? You thought that was just your kids. We all are. Right? So you know what? We all sometimes deal with wrath. We're just worked up, hacked off, upset, right? You ever get like that? Nah. Sometime you wouldn't want us to have a surveillance camera in your house, would you? or in your car when someone cuts you off. Right? Cease from anger. Cease from anger. And do what? Forsake wrath. You know what that means? Walk away from it. Forsake it. Turn away from it. Leave it. Leave off doing it. Forsake wrath. Because you remember James 1. Therefore let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Slow to anger. Why? Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Can I tell you honestly, when you begin to take actions in anger that you have stewed on, you will never accomplish a godly purpose. Did you hear that? When you start going off, when you start yelling and screaming, or maybe you get like Clint Eastwood. Okay? Or better yet, you get like Steven Seagal. You know, I'm going to kick your tail. You don't have to scream, but you know, it's just the tone in your voice, you know, the posture of your life, you know. You know what I'm saying? And everybody around you knows it, man. You're just ready to go off, right? When you go off, you know what good you're going to do? So why haven't you forsaken that? Why haven't you stopped doing that if it doesn't do any good? Huh? Because it just makes you feel so much better about yourself? After you've yelled and hollered and cussed and made yourself look like a stupid, stinking idiot, that makes you feel better about you? Huh? No? The wrath of man working not the righteousness of God, so there's no holy good thing that's going to come out of it. Right? Is that what the Bible says? So why haven't you forsaken wrath then? Well, because I'm not willing to give the things that make me mad over to the Lordship of God. Trust Him with the things that make me angry. The things that just tick me off. I'm talking about those things that just make me so stinking mad. Right? Smile. I'm just acting, really. This is for effect, all right? Some of you are like, my kids are like, yeah. Somebody's going in timeout. You know, every once in a while I get so mad I tell my kids, man, somebody's getting a spanking and it's not going to be me. Somehow that doesn't accomplish what I wanted to always. But you know what? Look, we need to give the situations over the Lord that just make us mad. Give it to God. Instead of taking it into your own control, thinking that if I let these people know just how good and mad I am, they're going to change things. Well, how's that been working out for you? The wrath of man worketh what? Not the righteousness of God. Right? So, just get ready for more frustration. Huh? God calls us to be meek. And that means that when I'm meek, though I have the ability to be wrathful in my spirit, and I can let someone know how good and mad I am, and I can try to make their life miserable, meekness says, I'm going to forsake that, and I'm going to defer to someone, even if it makes me mad. And a lot of times, the things that really make us mad, don't affect the course of our lives one way or another. They don't violate our principles one way or another. It's just some little personal peeve that, you know, just kind of makes us mad, you know, and it's a straw that broke the camel's back. And a lot of times we won't talk to somebody for 3 weeks and we're all hacked off about it, and at the end of the time frame we can't even remember why we got mad to begin with. So why don't we forsake that? Because you enjoy feeling angry and having stomach aches? Because you like having war in your home? Do you know what I found? There are a lot of people that don't know how to live without some drama in their life. Do you know? And if they don't have any, they'll make some. You know what I'm saying? Man, I want to... Look, the Bible says, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You know, they sure like having peace. They don't like the drama. Right? So, forsake wrath. Give it to the Lord. Now, there's a ton more stuff I'm gonna save for later. But do you know that made me so mad. I'm just going to preach 30 more minutes. Listen, you know, there are times I just have to give Joe to the Lord. I just got to trust Joe with Jesus. Look, folks, why don't we trust Him? We think it's easier to worry than to just see God as in control of everything. What is it that you want? Why don't you relinquish that to the will of God and say, Lord, would you place within my heart the yearning for only the things that you want me to have? And be willing to say that sincerely. Why don't you know that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and say, God, I want you to direct the way that I take. And while I'm waiting on you, I'm going to just do the right thing. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So I'm just going to trust you, Lord, while I'm waiting for you to reveal where you want me to be. And if here's where you want me to stay, then I will. And I'll trust you. You see, He wants us to trust Him. And we talk a lot about it. Kind of like singing, Oh, how I love Jesus. Right? Oh, how I love Jesus. Reminds me of the bumper sticker that says, Honk if you love Jesus. I like the one that says, Tithe if you love Jesus. Anyone can honk. Right? Oh yeah, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 it says, Our giving to the Lord proves the sincerity of our love. You know, I think about what the Bible says. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's because really we don't trust Him. Trust in the Lord. Oh yeah, trust also in Him. Okay? You worried about something? See, God is in control of that situation. Okay? You worried about it, fretting about it? Crawl up in His lap and believe Him when He says, I've got it under control. It's going to be okay. It really will. You say, well, how come I don't feel like it's going to be okay? Well, you're flesh and I'm not. So just go to sleep now. I'll take care of it. And the sun will come up in the morning. And if it doesn't, you'll be with the sun. Either way, it'll be all right.